472. Okay, last time we finished the what's called the Me'il, the robe of the Kohen Gadol. Now we're up to the last garment of the Kohen Gadol that we didn't cover yet. And basically, as we will soon learn more in the Psukim, a regular Kohen had four garments. They had pants, a long shirt, a gartel, and a hat. That was the regular Kohen. In addition to these four that a regular Kohen Gadol had four more. He had the ephod, the choshen, the me'il, which was the long robe, and the tzitz that we're learning about now. So, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Perek Chof Ches, page 472, sentence 36. Now the Torah says, Vavsisa tzitz, you should make this tzitz, this head plate, Zav Tor, pure gold, Upitachta Olav, you should engrave upon it, Pituch Echesim, an engraved like signet ring, the two words, Kedosh LaHashem. That means the tzitz was a, and it says it was two its boys. It was
the hat was two different
things. Yeah. I'll soon explain exactly how the Kohen Gadol's head looked like.
See the picture too.
This is the
headband. Well, not really. It doesn't have a clear headband on it. You don't really see it clear. Because, and the hat is not correct. I mean, we'll soon see what the Pasuk and what Rashi and the Gemara comment on this. Basically, it was two fingers wide. Okay? So I figure it was like an inch wide. It went across the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. On it, it said two words, Kedosh LaHashem. Mm-hmm. Now, the Gemara discusses, the Gemara in Shabbos discusses how exactly the two letters, Kedosh LaHashem, was written. According to one opinion, in fact, the Gemara brings down that Rabbi Lezer saw that it was just, he saw it on one line, the two words Kodesh LaHashem. Most people in the Gemara disagree with him, and they write that the word Hashem was on top, and Kodesh Le on the bottom. In other words, why was it like that? Because they maintained it would be disrespectful to have anything before Hashem's name, or for that matter, on top of Hashem's name. So according to the majority opinion, the word Hashem was on top, on the top line, and underneath it said Kedosh Le. Because even if it would say Le Hashem, then the Lamed would also be for the word, the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. So therefore it had Hashem on top, Kedosh Le. So it was read upwards. Other opinions in the Gemara say, like in fact, the Arachai Mingdan, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yesi said, he saw the tzitz in Rome, and it was Kedosh LaHashem on one line. So the Arachai explains, really, the Arachai HaKadosh explains, that it was not necessarily had to be one of the two ways. And that's why sometimes he saw it, obviously if he saw it tzitz, that means it was written on one line. So how could the other people say it was written on two lines? So they write that it basically was, it could be this way, it could be that way, it wasn't any particular way. So now, see, other tzitz, so basically it was a gold plate, a headband, that went across the entire forehead. Now the Pasuk is going to discuss how it was held and where it went on the head. So it says like this, and there's a lot of things about the tzitz itself that need to be discussed, what it forgave and what the concept of the tzitz was and so on. So he says like this, V'samta eisei al psil tchelis, and you're going to listen to a few psukim that mamish contradicting itself. Okay? Here it says, you should place it on a cord of turquoise wool. Okay? V'hoi al mitznafis, it should be on top of the turban. Amopene al mitznafis here, opposite the front of the turban. Okay? Well, it's very unclear what the pasuk means. And in fact, Rashi over here asks a very simple question. There's three psukim contradicting themselves. Rashi asks, if you look in various different psukim, one place it says the tzitz is under No, it's on the ribbon. Another place says the cord is on top of the tzitz. And then Rashi says, one place says, v'yitnu ala psot cheles. And another pasuk says, v'hoyal mitznefes. And another place it says, it should be on the Aaron's forehead. So like, one place says it should be on the hat, one place says it should be on the forehead, one place says it was, like, Rashi asks a contradiction of three psukim. So therefore Rashi learns, it was on the thread, it was under the thread, and it was under the hat, but not under the hat. Meaning like this. The way it went was, and it's a shame there's no picture of it here. See, it's interesting, in this Chumash, in 473, when you look at the tzitz, it says Kodesh LaHashem, and one line, which, like we said, according to most opinions, it wasn't like that. Okay, now, there are three threads coming out of the tzitz. One on the right, one on the left, one in the middle. So the way the tzitz actually went, the way Rashi explains it, was it on the thread, under the thread, or on the hat, under the hat? The Kohen Gadol's hat was moved back. Okay? In the front was the tzitz. Now the tzitz, in order to tie this plate to the head, had three straps. You see the two straps on the sides?
Really metal or the material?
No, no, no. The things were turquoise wool. Not the tzitz was gold.
The one that they would put it on the forehead.
No, 1 second. The actual metal tzitz was gold. Pure gold.
Yeah.
Pure gold. How did you connect that to the head? Okay, so there was, like he says, turquoise cords. There was tchelis, psile tchelis. There were threads of tchelis. Okay, big ones, basically strong ones. Now, there were two on each side that he tied to the back. Of his head. It was actually tied in the back of his head to hold it up.
The glue has a hole in it?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To put the threads through, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, later.
Don't
kiss me. Hey, Marty. Take a seat. Okay. So now, it went like this. The hat of the Kohen Gadol, the Mitznefes, was a hat, and we'll soon see the materials of the hat. So he had this big hat. It didn't look exactly like the picture is. It was not as high up. It was a hat. The tzitz went on the forehead like this, tied in the back. The middle strings went over the hat. But they didn't go over the hat in two. They split. Because where did the Kohen wear tefillin? So it says in the Gemara, and the Mefarshim Rashi brings it down over here, there was a tzitz in the front, then there was empty hair space where he put his head tefillin, and then behind that went the mitznef, the hat of the Kohen Gadol. But the two threads obviously couldn't go straight because then it would be in the way of the tefillin.
Well,
so when...
In the morning and do the
they used to wear tefillin a whole day in those days.
Wow.
The Kohen and the Beis Hamikdash for sure wore the tefillin a whole day.
But what about the long-sleeved garment?
No, that went over the tefillin.
Why don't they put the tefillin in the picture?
That's a good question to ask the printer. Next time you meet him, ask him. I don't know.
Was that the rabbi?
In fact, even in the real pictures, 1 second, even in the real pictures of the tzitz. Okay. This is the back of the Kohen Gadol. This is the back. So if you look on his head, this is the back of his head, which is tied with the threads, right? Okay. The front of the Kohen Gadol. And this picture also is Kedesh LaHashem in one line, which is surprising. Okay, if you could see, obviously you don't see a real head. It's a wooden head. But you see the tzitz was there, the metal plate, the gold metal plate. Then there was an empty space, as you can see in the picture. That's where he wore his tefillin. The reason why they don't put tefillin in the pictures, because tefillin is not one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Here they're showing the garments of the Kohen Gadol. I don't know if he wore a tie or not. You know, if there wasn't the comment of the Kohen Gadol.
His head, but he's wearing this huge
One second. It wasn't very heavy.
No, I'm just saying it's a huge hat.
That's what I'm saying. The hat, if you can notice, of the Kohen Gadol, was not that big. Like a regular Kohen. In fact, I'll show you another picture here. Okay, this is a bigger picture of the Kohen Gadol with the tzitz. Yeah? So obviously you're seeing wood head. But between the tzitz and the hat, there was an empty space. Well, you know, whatever it was moved back enough. Now, this is the difference between a regular Kohen. The guy on the right is a Kohen Gadol, wearing the tzitz. The guy on the left was a regular Kohen that just had the hat. Now, obviously, he wore tefillin in front of his hat. But the Kohen Gadol had to be moved back more because the tzitz was in front. Behind the tzitz was the tefillin. And behind the tefillin was the hat. Okay? So basically, if you look at the tzitz, it's on the thread, it's beneath the thread. It's over, you know, and that's why it's really, Rashi explains, it's not really a contradiction of the psukim, because that's the way it actually went. But there was actual space between, like the pasuk says, v'samtai seps in Lamed Zayin 37. The pasuk says, okay, 37, you should place it on a cord of turquoise wool and should be on the turban opposite the front of the turban. Meaning the tzitz was in front, in the middle of the guy's head. Right behind it went the tefillin. It should be on Aaron's forehead. And Aaron, through this, will forgive the sin of sacrifices. And Rashi explains in the Gemara, what does it mean, the sin of sacrifice? What sin was there when sacrifices? If by mistake somebody brought blood or the fats in impurity, and they didn't know that they were impure, okay, and they brought it anyway, so the tzitz would forgive for those types of sins. The sins of karbonis, and that's the way Rashi said, it can't be any other sin, because only it would be refers to the sin of bringing a carbon by mistake when you were tummy. Then the pasuk says, "V'ha'ya metzach Aaron." It should be on the forehead of Aaron. Now, simply it means the pasuk says at the end of Lamed Ches, "V'ha'ya mitzchei tamid." It should be constantly on his head. So Rashi right away asks, "What do you mean constantly on his head?" He only wore the tzitz when he worked in the Beis Hamikdash. When he didn't work in the Beis Hamikdash, he's not allowed to wear those garments. So how could the Torah say that it's constantly on his head? It wasn't constantly on the head. It wasn't allowed to be constantly on the head. So Rashi answers one thing, meaning it was continuously forgiving the Jews even when he didn't wear it. That means the pasuk is teaching us that when the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz during the time of work, even when he wasn't working and he wasn't wearing it, it was still a continuous forgiveness. Another thing it says, V'ayah mitzchei tamid, Rashi says, that he has to constantly be aware of it. What it means, not that he should constantly wear it, V'ayah mitzchei tamid means that whenever the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz,
tzitz, you're talking about tzitzitz or just
tzitz? Tzitz, this is called tzitz, this metal plate. That's called the tzitz. That the Kohen Gadol had to constantly be aware that it was on his forehead. So when the pasuk says "V'ha'ya mitzchei tamid," it doesn't mean he has to always wear it. It means when you're wearing it, you have to be aware of it. And the Gemara, we mentioned this between Mincha Ma'ariv today. The Gemara learns out from here for tefillin. The Gemara says the tzitz had one name of God in it. It said only Kodesh Lashem. That was it. Tefillin has countless names of God. In Shema there's a bunch of names. Oyim Shemaya there's a bunch of names of Hashem. So the Gemara learns out that if the Kohen Gadol with the tzitz, the Torah says you have to be aware of it constantly. So how much more so when you're wearing tefillin, which has many names of Hashem, the Gemara says you have to constantly be aware that the tefillin, meaning to respect them and act appropriately while the person's wearing the tefillin.
How How is Ne'er Hashem spelled? The full real way?
Yeah, Rashi in the Gemara Shabbos says it was written Yud Kei Vav Kei. Here it just says Kedush LaHashem with a, you know, Lamed Hey. But Rashi in the Gemara says it was the same Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Now, why so many garments? It's like a robot walking. So many.
There are various different.
He has to run to the bathroom. What does he do?
Yeah, he had to take everything off.
Really?
No.
Matthew.
The Mefarshim explain.
Matthew. It's a very good question, I'm sorry.
It's an excellent question.
Thank you.
Great question.
So what do you, it takes everything off?
Your husband.
Not the extra garments that the Kohen go to the war. He didn't go to the bathroom with the Chayshin David. It had God's names on it. So the tzitz, he couldn't go. It had God's name in it.
And what about the Tefillin also? Yes,
right. Right. And by the way, the Mefarshim say, why did Hashem say over here Zohav Tahar? You know, in fact, I didn't finish the point from before. It says, according to many commentaries, Hashem was on the top by itself, and underneath it was Kedush Lip. And they say why they didn't want anything before God's name. So the question is, throughout the Torah, there are words before God's name. I mean, in Tefillin you have words before Hashem's name. Why nobody cares over there and over here? So the answer, because it's only two words, it's extremely noticeable. When you have a lot of words, you don't notice exactly where Hashem's name is. But two words, they didn't want to put anything on top of Hashem. They didn't want to put anything on the same line as Hashem. So they would do it in that way. Now the Ohr Chaim HaKadosh explains that what is this concept of L'rotzen Lehem Lefnei Hashem, that the Jews are holy, Kedush, meaning the Jews are holy as far as Hashem is concerned, and L'Hashem means the Jews are totally dedicated to Hashem. So that's why those two words. Now, there's a few things over here. What does it mean, like a signet ring? Huh? But it wasn't in Greek. It said like this. The letters, Kedush LaHashem, were not indented. They were sticking out. You have two types of engraved letters. You can have indented letters or letters that are protruding. The tzitz letters, Kedush LaHashem, were not indented. It had to be like the letters when you put, huh?
Embossed
letters, whatever. Like he says, it shouldn't be Sha'isis Yivlutu Klapichutz. Not like the Eifed and the Choshen, that the letters were indented inside. These were protruding outside. Okay? Because that's why the Mefarshim explained, by the Eifed it just says Pituche Chesem. Here it says, Olav Pituche Chesem. On it, and that's why we learn out that the letters of the tzitz were, like, embossed? Embossed, okay. Fine, that's one thing. Then he says like this. Okay, there were three holes, like we said. That's what he put on tefillin. Then he just goes into a bunch of things about tefillin. Okay, then he says like this. What was the concept of the tzitz? And in fact, the Klei Yakar asks a number of questions over here. But one question is, the Pasuk says that the tzitz forgave, that if you brought Karbonis and you were Tomei, the tzitz forgave for that sin. So the question is, the Gemara says that the tzitz forgave for Azuz Metzach. Azuz Metzach in today's language means chutzpah. It forgave for chutzpah. So they ask a question, in fact the Klei Yakar says, he says, you have to understand, how does chutzpah get to the karbonis? You know, what's the connection between the two? So he says as follows. The Mefarshim explain that when a person has chutzpah, he has no shame. He has no embarrassment. A person with shame doesn't have chutzpah, because chutzpah is a brazen. You don't care, there's no what's called Yiddish edelkeit. There's no refinement to the person. And he says when a person has, no, chutzpah is not necessarily ego. They're interconnected. Usually a person has ego, has chutzpah, but not necessarily. Because some chutzpah is good, some chutzpah is bad. No, in fact, it says, it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Bold like a leopard. A Jew should be Askenemer, Gibukardi, Ratzkatzvi, Vigibuk. So what does it mean? Askenemer. A person should boldness like a leopard. So there is a boldness. There is good chutzpah, and there is bad chutzpah. In fact, even the Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses about the concept of boldness like a leopard, meaning you should have, like, not be embarrassed from all the people that laugh at you. If something is right, you have to have the chutzpah to do it, even though it might not be the popular thing to do or what people would like you to do. But if it's the right thing to do, you got to do it. But it says, nevertheless, a person should not acquire the trait of chutzpah. In other words, even when you're doing good chutzpah, healthy chutzpah, it shouldn't be in a way that you actually becomes natural to have chutzpah. Because chutzpah itself, generally speaking, is not a good thing. So he says like this.
The Jews have chutzpah.
Only Israelis.
Yeah, only Israelis. Don't speak, not all Jews. On the contrary, the Gemara says that by Shonim, the Gemara says that Jews by nature are Rachmanim, by Shonim, and Gemel Chasodim. By nature, the Gemara says, Jews are shamed. I mean, they don't have this chutzpah. So he says like this. The bottom line, what does this have to do with Kabbanis? We're saying that tzitz forgives for sacrifices that were brought incorrectly, and here we're saying it forgave for chutzpah. So the Mefarshim explain, when a person has chutzpah, he's more prone to sin. What does chutzpah mean? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That means you get whatever I want to do, whatever the Yetzirah wants to do, whatever the person wants to do, they're going to do. So therefore he says, a person that's bashes panim, meaning, in fact the Gemara says, as panim legehenim, u bashes panim legan Eden. The same Mishnah says that a chutzpah that a person goes to hell, the Gehenim. And a shamed person goes to get the Gan Eden, the Mishnah says. So he says, when a person has chutzpah, they cause to sin, and that's why they have to bring karbanos. The concept of karbanos is to forgive. So who needs karbanos more than other people? A person with chutzpah. So he said, therefore, the tzitz actually was forgiving both aspects. It's really the same thing. Karbanos and chutzpah really the same thing, because if you have baishas, then you're not going to end up sinning. And he says like this, one of the Gemara says, in the sin of chutzpah, God doesn't bring rain. Now, the Jews are punished when they don't have rain. And the Mefarshim explain why is this. Because one of the primary things in Yiddishkeit is to be what's called, not to be makrotayva, and not to be, as Rashi calls it, kfui taiva. Kfui taiva means not unappreciative. One of the whole concept of bikurim, the first fruits you bring, bikurim, Rashi says in Parshas Kisavi, is to say, God, thank you, you know, to appreciate what God does for us. So he says, when a person is unappreciative, meaning their chutzpah means whatever, I want what I want. And other people say, whatever I get, thank you, I'm happy with what I got. Chutzpah means, whatever I got, I want more. So he says, that actually stops rain, because then they don't appreciate what Hashem does. And Hashem says, if you don't appreciate what I'm doing, I'm not going to give it to you. You know, if somebody appreciates something, you're willing, you want to give them. But if they don't appreciate, then you don't have any mood to give it to them. And then he says like this, he brings on a story, it's a little, we'll leave out some of them, details of the story, but the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Kiva, the three great tzaddikim we speak about in the Haggadah of Pesach, were sitting in a certain place, whatever, in the road they were sitting and learning. And two kids walked by. One kid had a little bit of shame from them and covered his head, and the other kid didn't. So Rabbi Eliezer says, this kid that didn't cover his head is a mamzer. Rabbi Shua says, He's a ben nida. His mother didn't go to the mikveh. Rabbi Kiva said he's both. He's a mamzer and ben nida. So they asked.
Name a kid on his mother's
shed. 1 second. So they asked Rabbi Kiva, you know, where did he get the guts to say he's a mamzer and ben nida both? So Rabbi Kiva said, let's wait a minute. You'll see that I'm right. When they went to, they came to the city, Rabbi Kiva went to the kid's mother and said, I need you to tell me exactly how this kid was born, and I will fix it that you can go to Olam Haba. But you need to tell me the truth. What happened with this kid's birth? So the mother said to him like this. When I got married, I was a Nida at the time of the wedding, and the Unterfuhrer, one of the company people, had relations with her. And she became pregnant and gave birth to this kid. So she was a Nida, and the kid's a mamzer. So Rabbi Kiva, and they said, wow, look at Rabbi Kiva, that he had this greatness to perceive that because of the kid's chutzpah, there's an expression in the Gemara, Kiva in the chutzpah kula hai, shma mino mamzer hu. The Gemara says, somebody with a lot of chutzpah, you know he's a mamzer. Off the record, in the Jewish belief, Rabbi Shua ben Prachya was the Yashkiz Rebbe. The question is when he lived, that's a whole issue. But one of the ways that Rabbi Shua ben Prachya knew that he was a mamzer, because Yashkiz had a lot of chutzpah. And Rabbi Shua said to him, Kivin the chutzpah kula hai shma mino mamzeru. Then they found out that he was taka mamzer and the whole story. So, as a rule, chutzpah is a sign of a mamzer, as you see from the story in the Gemara. So therefore, the tzitz forgave for the sins of being chutzpah. Yes, sir.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I met thousands of Jews in my lifetime, particularly in World War II.
Okay, but let's make it quick.
That every one of them had chutzpah, and they weren't mamzerim. They had nerve, they had courage, they had guts, and they survived because they had that chutzpah.
Okay.
So I can't.
We're not talking about survival. Survival is not chutzpah. Survival is survival. And chutzpah is chutzpah.
Yeah, but that's what the Jews needed in World War II.
It wasn't called chutzpah, it's called survival.
No, it was called chutzpah too. The nerve to go and do half the things the Jews did in World War II. And how about the Jews that joined all the armed forces?
Okay. Good point. Well taken. Okay, so now the pasuk continues and says that the tzitz should be constantly on Aaron's forehead and so on. Okay, so now he says in Lamed Tes as follows. In Lamed Tes he said, Vishibatztak, so now we basically finished the four additional garments of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, like we said, he had the Eifed, the Choshen, the Me'il, which was that blue robe with the bells at the bottom, and the tzitz. These were the four garments of the Kohen Gadol. Now he's going into the garments of the regular Kohen, which obviously Aaron also wore. V'shibatztak seina shesh, and you should make a linen tunic of box-like knit. That means it's actually what we would call checkered, but a checkered design looks like it wants to, like it looks like you want to put things into. It looks like a groove. Yeah, it looks like a groove, even though it's not. But it looks like a groove that you want to put something into. We'll soon see why he made it like that. Okay. Okay, it's called a basket knit, he says. Now, what does it mean? Like he brings down from Sabin Afoshim that the Kohen Gadol, what does it mean? Why did the Kohen, or the Kohen for that matter, wear such a garment? Because it wanted to show that they're always willing to receive positive influence. Now, as great as they were willing to receive constructive criticism to better their character. That's why Hashem wanted it made like that. So he says like this. You have to make this like a box-like knit. You should make mitznefesh sheish, a linen turban. Va'avne tasa, and you should make a sash, which is basically a gartel, which was embroider's work. Now that was also the extra three garments that a Kohen wore, like everybody else's. And we need to learn the next pasuk, and then we can explain this. V'levnei Aaron tasik kutoynes, to Aaron's children, you should also make the tunics. V'asisulam avneitim, you have to make for them the gartlach. U'migboyis tasik lohem, and you have to make a headdress for them. L'chovid el sefores, for glory and honor. And we'll see there's an unbelievable klayok over here explaining each one of these concepts. But basically, and by the way, there's one thing the Torah doesn't mention here. And that the Torah doesn't mention, the pants. And we'll soon see why in two psukim the Torah is going to talk about it, and why the Torah doesn't mention it here. Now, that means the four garments a regular Kohen wore was a long, like, box night sash, meaning it was with sleeves. It went over the shoulders, it was tied on top just to keep it closed. Everybody had their own size made, obviously, for to fit. Then they had the pants, and there were mini pants that went until the knees. The long shirt went to the floor, basically. Then they had the gartel, and we'll soon learn about the gartel, a very interesting concept. And then they also had a hat. What? No. Yeah, it's all covered. Now here they don't have a picture of a regular Kohen, of what a regular Kohen wore, not in this Chumash, but here there is a picture.
The long shirt, you mean the me'il?
No, the me'il was a Kohen. A Kohen Gadol had a me'il. This is a picture of the Kohen Gadol, what they wore. It's not in colored, and the regular Kohen. So all the regular Kohen had, the Kohen had an additional me'il, which was over this box night thing. If you see, it was even sticking out at the bottom of the me'il. The me'il had the pomegranates with the bells at the bottom. Okay, that went over this long jacket, a long shirt. It's basically a long shirt. Okay, the me'il went over that. On top of the me'il went the eifet. On top of the eifet went the cheshen. Okay? And under that were the pants. So a regular Kohen had pants, this long white coat, gartel, and a hat. Now, the gartel was very, very long.
Rabbi, one quick moment. What is that, a Gemara?
It's a picture book.
I never saw you have that book here in all the years I've come in here. 20 years, I've never seen that.
Because you weren't here the last few weeks.
Oh, it's new?
Yeah, right off the press.
Is it a
it's just pictures of the basin of the Mishkan and the garments and everything. Okay. The gartel, the avnate, was 32 amos long. That's close to 64 feet long. And no Kohen was that fat. So he used to wrap it around and around and around. We'll soon see why Hashem wanted it to be 32 amos long. Another unique thing about the avnate was made out of shatnez, as we'll soon learn. It was the only garment that a Jew is allowed to wear with a mixture of wool and linen.
The Kohen
God? No, regular Kohen also wore it. Yeah, they both, the Kohen and the Kohen God, both had it. They would wear this long gartel, and it was made out of various materials. One material was wool, and one material was linen. And therefore, the halacha was, when a Kohen was not working, he was not allowed to wear it. Because that would be mamish wearing shatness. Not only was he not allowed to wear it, but if he wasn't working, he wanted a, like they say, chapa dremel, he wanted to get a nap, he couldn't roll up the avnet. It was a very comfortable material, and it was very big. You could roll it up into a good pillow. He wasn't allowed to lay down on it because it was shatness. The only time a Kohen would be allowed to wear the gartel, the avnate, was during the time he was actually working in the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, it was mamash asin of shatness. So now, he explains like this. The Klayokar elaborates on this whole thing over here about the various psukim. Now, the Ksenis, the coat, remember we said each one of the garments forgave for various different sins, the major sins. The long coat, not the me'il, the undergarment, that was under everything else, forgave, it says, for murder. Forgave for murder. So he asks, the Kli Yakir asks, how in the world does this long shirt get to the concept of murder? I mean, it has to be a connection between the two. You can't just say, okay, murder, you know, there has to be a connection. And he says as follows. Now, some of us you want to say, and he says like this, if you want to say, because the brothers took Yosef's kutenis, which is the same word as this kutenis, his coat, and put it into blood, that's only good for Yosef. What does that have to do with everybody else's murder? And even then, they didn't murder Yosef. They only sold him as a slave. So basically, he asks, what is the connection between this coat, this long shirt, so to speak, and murder? So he brings on the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says like this. He says a few things, and he says like this. And he says like this, Ki kein haguf k'teinus hanefesh. The body is the garment of the soul. The soul comes into the body. So the body is like the cloak of the neshama. So what happens when you murder somebody? You're taking away the cloak. So therefore the cloak that the Kohen Gadol, or that every Kohen wore, actually forgave for the sin of Shfichas Damim, because it refers to the body, which is the cloak for the neshama. And then he says even more. And he says, why was it made out of Shesh Pishtan? It says you have to make Seina Shesh, beginning of Pasuk Lamites. You make this thing out of linen. Right? In Lamites it says, Vishibasik says, you should make a linen garment, right? Now, why was it made out of linen? He says, why was it made out of linen? And why is it called Shesh? Why is linen called Shesh in Hebrew? He says like this. Who was the first murderer in the world?
Cain.
What was the story with Cain and Hevel? Cain, jealousy. But what korbanos did they bring? Hevel brought wool, and he brought me priho adama. Rashi says he brought cheap linen. So Cain brought linen. Hevel brought expensive wool. God accepted Hevel's sacrifice of wool, but not Cain's. So what brought about murder in the world? Linen. Linen. Shatnez, by the way. I've mentioned this in the past. It says in Sfarim, one of the reasons why Jews are not allowed to wear wool and linen together, obviously it's a chayk. So some of us, I think it's a daskenim somewhere, that says that you're not allowed to wear shatnez because the first shatnez were Cain and Hevel. Hevel brought wool, Cain brought linen, and that was the cause of murder in the world. God said, you know what? I don't want any garments mixed to those two. But he says, that's why Hashem says, because the Ketanus is forgiving for murder, because Ketanus refers to the body, which is the cloak of the neshama, the original murder came about because of linen. Because he was a brought Pishtun. And the woman, and then he says another interesting thing to Klei Yakir. He says that's why in the cities of refuge, how many are there? Sheish. Six. Why six cities of refuge? Because murder came about because of Sheish, which means linen. In other words, Sheish means linen. Sheish means six. So because murder came about because of linen, because of Kayin's Karvan, that Hashem didn't accept. So Hashem says, I want the forgiveness to be with linen. Secondly, I want there should be six cities of refuge. Like he says, Shesh is Shisha. And he says, and that's why he says, the hat also was made out of linen. Why? Because he says, the hat forgave for haughtiness. It's like on top, you know, you think I'm better than everybody else. I'm on top of everybody else. So he says, linen is also because when Yosef became king in Egypt, when Pari interpreted the dream, it said, Vayalbesh Eisei Bigdei Sheish. They put Yosef on linen garments. Linen, therefore, is a sign of royalty. Royalty is a sign of ego. So Hashem says the hat, which forgives for the sin of ego, also has to be made from linen. Because all these are causes for murder and ego and all that. Now, he says, the gartel, what does the gartel do? The gartel separates higher and lower. So he says, what does this refer to? The gartel, the avnate, forgave for evil thoughts. Thoughts of the heart. The evil thoughts of the heart. And he said, that's why it's 32 amos long, because lev is heart. Lamed beis is 32. So he explains, why did Hashem want the gartel should be lamed beis amos, 32 amos, to forgive al hirat alev. And then he says even more. The thoughts of sin are even worse than the sin itself. Wow. The Gemara says, thoughts of sin are worse than sin. So the Kliyaka explained it very simply. Because when you sin, it's over. But the thoughts remain. The thoughts linger on after the sin. After you sin, you didn't aveira, but it's over. In Chassidus, there's a different explanation of why thoughts of sin are even worse than the sin itself. And to preface it, it says in Svarim, why is a person called Adam? Okay, we came from the Adam, I mean, all that stuff. But it's brought down in Svarim that Adam is Aleph Dalid Mem. Aleph is Machshava, thought. Dalid is Dibur, speech. And Mem is Ma'asa, action. What is a person? Their thought, their speech, and their action. That's what a person is. But the question is, if it's Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'asa, why are we called Adam? We should be called Madam. Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'asa would be Madam. Why are we called Adam?
In French.
Machshava, thought. Aleph, Dalid, Mem. Aleph is Machshava. Aleph is Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'asa. So what is a person, Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'asa? The question is, why is Machshava called Aleph? We should be called Madam, Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'asa. Why is it called Adam? So in Chassidus, it's brought down in many places that of the three garments, so to speak, thought, speech, and action, you can never stop thinking. You can stop talking. You could stop doing. But you can never stop thinking.
But you could change your thinking.
Well, yeah, you could change your thinking. But even when you're not thinking, it's your thinking that you're not thinking. Or even when you sleep. I mean, even if even people that talk in the sleep don't talk the whole time. They take a break. But the mind, during the sleep, so it says, you can never stop thinking. And that's why it's called Aleph. Why is Machshava called Aleph? Because it's one with the Neshama. It's so one with the Neshama, just like the Neshama is constantly working, so is the thought. So therefore, Aleph, Dalet Mem, is Machshava, Dibur, Ma'aseh, because it wants to bring out that thought is so close to the nefesh. It's called levush hamiyuchad. It's the united garment with the soul, that just as the soul is always working, so is the thought. Based on this, we can understand that when you think a foreign thought, or an evil thought, because thought is closer to the soul than speech and action is, so the blemish of thought is closer to the soul than it is in speech and action. Because thought is closer to the soul than speech and action. So a blemished thought, this explains what the Gemara says, Hirhuri Aveda, thought of sin, are worse than the sin, because as far as the blemish on the soul goes, it's a bigger blemish when you think foreign than when you speak or do foreign. What?
I'm a little confused.
Good.
If you think about putting out the soul, it doesn't count. Unless you put the
control
on.
Right.
So therefore, it's the action of a good deed. Therefore, if you thought about Hashem a bad deed, and you didn't do it,
Why wouldn't that be a higher level?
So why aren't you punished for foreign thoughts?
I'm
just Jewish. I'm just reiterating your question.
You're saying it's worse.
Right. So why aren't you punished for thoughts?
So you won't.
If I, God forbid, think I'm going to kill you, am I punished?
No.
Does court punish me? Does the court punish me?
No.
For that matter, if I say I'm going to kill you, also I'm going to get punished. Only if I kill you, God forbid, then I'm punished. One second. Because there's two... I just didn't finish the point yet. The point is, this is an action world, and therefore we're only punished for action. You know, there's the famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov overheard the way two of his Talmidim got into a fight. And one said to the next, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. I'm going to, you know, tear you apart like a fish. So the Baal Shem Tov, you know, they were sitting down, they sang a song, and they went up in this heavenly thing, and they saw a vision that A was ripping apart B like a fish. And it was mamish, they were actually ripping them apart. And they all, you know, they got scared. It was a very scary vision. And obviously the Baal Shem Tov caused, the vision stopped, and the Baal Shem Tov said to them like this, there is a world of speech, there's a world of thought, and there's a world of action. If I think, God forbid, if I think I'm going to kill you, in the world of thought, I killed you. If I say I'm going to kill you, in the world of speech, I killed you. If I actually kill you, then in the world of action, I killed you. This world that we are in today, which are responsible for what we do, is an action world. That doesn't mean, though, that blemish-wise, I'm not going to defile or impurify my neshama by thinking an evil thought. I'm not punished because this is not a thought world. This is not a speech world. This is an action world. Gan Eden, there's no action of mitzvahs in Gan Eden because Gan Eden is not an action world. This world is an action world. Mm-hmm. Like it says, the Bria Yetzira Nasiya, Bria is Eilam Adibur, Yetzira is Eilam Amachshava, Yetzira is Eilam Adibur, and Asiya, the lowest world, is Eilam Amaisim. So, because Hashem says you need to put on tefillin in an action world, if I think about putting on tefillin, in this world I didn't do it. And this world is what counts for us. We need to actually put on tefillin. But, and therefore I'm not punished because in the world we live in, what we're responsible, punished for, not punished for, so to speak, is only action. But as far as the neshama, blemishing the neshama goes, a person is blemished in thought, worse than everything else. And I just want to finish this point because the Koyakis says a very interesting statement. There's a famous story in the Gemara, we learned it a few times already, that this Ger came to Shammai and said, teach me, that I'll convert if I can become a Kohen Gadol. Remember, he was walking by and he heard a bunch of kids, we discussed the story not long ago. He discussed, he overheard the kids learning about these beautiful garments, and he said to the kids, who wears these things? A Kohen Gadol. He comes to Shammai and says, convert me, on the condition of become a Kohen Gadol. So of course Shammai threw him out, and Hillel took him in, and he started learning with him, and then he read the pasuk, Azara Karev Yumas, you know, for a guy's not a Kohen, you get killed by doing these things, and he says, who is it referred to? He says, David Malachi, so whatever, okay? So the Kli Yakov says, what was the guy, a fool? Did he think he could become a Kohen Gadol? I mean, what's going on over here? Why should the guy think that he's going to become, out of all the Jews, he's going to become a Kohen Gadol? So the Kli Yakov explains, what the guy wanted was a completely different thing. The garments of the Kohen Gadol are forgiving for all these types of sins. Idolatry, adultery, murder, ego, chutzpah. You know, the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol, each one forgave corruption and din, you know, corruption, which was the Cheshin. The Ger said, I transgressed all those sins as a guy. I wasn't a Jew, you know, I didn't have these mitzvahs. So I sinned. So he says, what the Ger meant, he says, the Klal Yakov, that if I convert, can I be forgiven like the garments of the Kohen Gadol forgives all the sins? That was his thought. Not that he thought in any wild dream that he could become a Kohen Gadol. How can you become a Kohen Gadol? You have to be a Kohen to become a Kohen Gadol.
Right.
So he says, what he wanted is he says, V'chi hoyo kol kach shoyte. Was the guy such a fool that he wants to convert to become a Kohen Gadol? But he heard that these are forgiving all these sins, and that's why he wanted to do it. And that's why he says, there's a very interesting story, I don't know, we'll finish it up. Achashverosh, when he made the party, he took out Teferes Gedulosei, the hardest Teferes Gedulosei, Vesikar Teferes Gedulosei, he wanted to show the greatness. So the Gemara says, Teferes Gedulosei, he took out the garments of the Kohen Gadol, and he showed them off. In other words, he donned the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So the Kalyaka said, why did Achashverosh do it? Because he knew that these garments forgive for all these sins. So Achashverosh said, I want to be forgiven for all these sins. So he put on the garments of the Kohen Gadol. What he didn't know it was, it only works for a Kohen Gadol. It doesn't work for him. Or for this Ger. You know. But it has to work. And he elaborates this whole thing of a Akod of Elov and the Kashin, the Shesha Master. He goes a whole long thing about explaining all these concepts of why the Gartel separates the higher and lower, which refers to foreign thoughts, and therefore the Avnei Taka forgave, and therefore it had to be Lev 32 Amos long, because the heart is 32 Lev.
How long is that?
What? 32 Amos? It's about a foot and a half to 2 feet per Amma. So you're talking about close to 64 feet. Or 32 plus 16, which would be 48.
48 feet?
48 feet long.
Between 48 and 64.
Between 48 and 64 feet. You know what that is? It's a six-story building.
Oh.
What? No, they kept going around. Well, we didn't learn all the details of the Avnet yet, but yeah, it was very long.
How long is the
Hasidic? No. Oh, 1 second.